Hello to anyone listening to the sermon audio from November 3rd, 2013. Just a note before the sermon begins, I wanted to let you know that this was a special service that we decided to just spend a little time as a congregation in pausing, reflecting, gathering ourselves, and remembering and giving thanks for the life of Glenn Abernathy. As most of you would know, Glenn Abernathy has been just a central figure and leader and guide for our congregation for decades. And he received the vision from God for the building of our Family Life Center, Parsonage Sanctuary, which allowed Salem to become a one-station church just with a single pastor for this particular church. And he led and guided. He was the engineer, the architect that put together the blueprints for the sanctuary and unified the congregation in pursuing this God-sized vision. And in his passing on the Monday prior to this service, he was still the acting church council chair, lay delegate to annual conference, and the lay leader of our congregation. So we took a moment this Sunday to give thanks for him, and I speak about him, but it is also more than just about Glenn. It's about our congregation's continuing vision and mission and place within the kingdom. So we took this time as a congregation to consider those things. Peace be with you.
We ended the last service by reading, or you all listening, and my reading through these verses. Beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes this in Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. And while you're standing, what we did at the very conclusion of the service, if you remember and if you were here, was we grabbed arms like this. Didn't we? Did we reach across or did we just grab hands? We linked elbows. So if you have a neighbor nearby, link an elbow. If you don't have a neighbor nearby, get one. And this ended a sermon on the armor of God and how our armor, first and foremost, protects us and stabilizes us individually in our relationship with God. So when the enemy comes against us, first, primarily, the enemy will try to move you in your relationship with God from a place of stability to a place of doubt. And the armor of God solidifies and reinforces that relationship. But secondly, the armor of God has armor. We have armor on the front, not on our backs, because we stand side by side and we always face the enemy head on, never afraid. And what the enemy would love to do, if he cannot come at you individually directly, he will come in your relationships with your brothers and sisters in an attempt to get you to turn sideways and think the fight is this direction. And there is a chink, there is a gap, there is a weak spot in the lines of our defenses of the community. And so what we did was we linked arms and we called out together portions of this verse. If you'll repeat after me, we said, there is one body, one hope. Here, wait. Let's try to start over. So I'll start us, and you guys repeat after me. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And so that was the warm up, but that was nowhere near like a battle cry, which is what this essentially is. So dig a little deeper. There is one God. Wait, start over. We can do better than that. Because I get concerned that sometimes Christians think spiritual warfare is a joke. And when a leader as central and as important, as spiritually significant as Glenn, passes away, and people speak of him again and again and again as the person who could come into a situation, quote, and could stabilize anything, what should we do? Quote, I don't know, let's go ask Glenn. When leaders representing that kind of unity are not in our defenses, we must be sure that the strength among us is still there. Amen? There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And at the end of our service, we did that together. Right around the same time, Glenn had had his stroke. We were bonded together like this. It's not a coincidence, brothers and sisters. It's God's preparation and ordination of us as one body. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The second point I would like to make is this one. Is that throughout the week as well, I was privy to a number of conversations and would listen and watch the leaders among us who have grown up here in the church, who were born and baptized and have worshipped here for years. And they said, several times I heard people say this, the people and the generation that I have always looked up to, the ones that were always there, they're passing away. And I don't know if I'm ready for that responsibility. And a part of one of the conversations, someone said, you are. That weight that you are feeling, it is the mantle of leadership. It is the mantle of leadership. And God has been preparing you all along. And you are ready. And it is God's strength that you will be standing in. And one of my mentors in the faith, when I first was recovering from a debauchery of a life and kind of getting my wits about me, this man just poured into me and poured into me. I mean, I owe so much to him. His name is Scott. I couldn't have done it without him. Just kind of guiding, leading, just, what should I do? I'll try this. Just leading me along. He was a mentor. He was a spiritual leader for me. But Scott had spiritual leaders and mentors. And he told the story of the one time he was sitting with one of his spiritual leaders, one of his mentors, the guy he would go to named Don. And he had gone to Colorado to spend as much time with Don as he could because Don was dying. And Scott was, you know, just soaking up as much. I mean, this was going to be the last time he would be with one of the most influential guys in his life. And Scott said this to Don. Don, what do guys like me do when guys like you aren't around anymore? What do I do? Genius, Don said, took his hands. I have been bringing you handfuls of water. Go to the river. I've just been bringing you handfuls of water. Scott, go to the river. Spiritual leaders in our congregation. There are significant moments in the life of congregations, and this is one of them. It's not just about Glenn. It's bigger than Glenn, and Glenn would say the same. It is about the passing of a spiritual mantle. Folks like Glenn. Quote from this week, whenever Glenn would say something, you knew he had thought and prayed long about it, and he was bringing a word from the Lord. Spiritual leaders, you have been being prepared, and you are prepared, and you are ready, and the time is now. You are our spiritual leaders. Be those among us who are going to the river, are listening intently, are able to come into a situation with stability and clarity and bring calm to the groups of us gathered. Be those among us who are going to the river and bringing handfuls of water.
And at this point, we joined in Holy Communion and sang several songs before I offered these concluding remarks for our service.
I mentioned this at the funeral, and it's worth saying again this morning because some of us weren't able to be here. But I was talking with Miss June, Glenn's wife, this past week, and I'd said, if Glenn could tell us one last thing this Sunday, what would it be? And she didn't even miss a beat in her response. And to me, it was, she said, wouldn't you agree? And I was just thinking, gosh, it's as if you've been married to him for 65 years or something. But it was dead on with Glenn's humility that we all know he modeled, that it was never about him, and that the building and the missions were not about him, and it was this place was not even necessarily about us. It is about the people we will continue to reach in Jesus' name for years and years to come. And we had many precious Catfish House conversations. And one of the ones that, one of the earlier ones, Glenn had said, well, I was seeing some new faces in the congregation. And I said, yes, it's great. They look like nice people. You know, hopefully they'll stick around. And he was saying, well, yeah, definitely. Because here now, and he would jump to, now, you know, I designed the sanctuary, right? And I'm Yes, I do know that. Now, I built this, and these choir rails are movable, and all we've got to do is move them out of the way, and we'll add two more pews all across the front of the sanctuary. Okay, yeah, we could do that, Glenn. We have a little room before then, but it was amazing, even in his insight in building and constructing this place, he had huge vision, always a step down the road. Myron L. and I gathered over there at his house with Glenn in June just a few weeks ago. And we were talking along the lines of those same conversations about growth and where we see ourselves going in the future. And without missing a beat, Glenn said, "Now, I designed that sanctuary, and right now it can seat, by the fire marshal, 521, which would be awfully cozy. Now, right now it can seat that many, but all we've got to do, see, I built it so we could knock out this back wall. We'll push everything back, and we will be up at 800 people in the sanctuary," Glenn says to me in his house. I'm going, how is he always many steps ahead? Incredible vision. He said, "You know what else, Pastor? Some of you may not even believe me. Ask Myron L. We'll knock out those back areas there, put in a balcony. We'll be seating over 1,000. Because none of this was ever about him, and it was not necessarily about us, except that we are the body of Christ who continues to reach forward into the world to people who have not heard or accepted the good news. And we invite them in to a community that by God's grace is trying to put salvation on display. And an 88-year-old man was 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of this whippersnapper. Amen. And I was never ceased to amaze me. And so when I asked Miss June, what would Glenn tell us this morning? Without a pause, she said, "Oh, he would say how proud he is of all of you. For all the work that you have done in building the church." And she said, he would say, "How exciting is it going to be to see the fruit that will come as a result of our labors in the years ahead of us?" Because Glenn knew that we were moving forward and that we were preaching the gospel and inviting people in to the most beautiful story that's been ever told about a Savior named Jesus Christ who died on a cross of Calvary to save even a wretch like me and even you. We have work ahead of us. May we be so eager to see the fruit of that labor in the years to come. Amen. Amen. And amen.